Let both grow together until the harvest. That teaches us a very important truth, that in this world, good and evil, the righteous and the wicked will grow together. There will never be a time until the Lord returns when there is only the righteous in the world. And there never will be a time when it's only the wicked, but both grow together.
Thank you for joining us here at Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of our Free Presbyterian Church. Today we let the Bible speak on the millennium. You will read of this in Revelation chapter 20, and as you will learn, that's the only chapter where you will read of a 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus. You will not read of it in the Gospels, nor in the Epistles, nor in the Old Testament, but that number 1,000 is given in one chapter only. That should carry weight with us as we think of the whole body of truth concerning the information concerning the return of the Lord Jesus. How should that be interpreted? That's going to be the message today as we deal with the millennium. Stay tuned with us as we turn now to our Free Presbyterian pulpit.
I'm glad that I'm in a church tonight where we can agree to disagree on many aspects of eschatology. If we had all the Free Presbyterian ministers of North America in one room and discuss this subject, I assure you, we would have a lively discussion, because I'm not sure if there's ever been an absolute perfect meeting of two minds on this particular subject. And yet we can say that we're all equal, but then there are some who are more equal than others. It was Albert Einstein who said that it is harder to crack a prejudice than it is an atom. And we all have prejudices when it comes to the doctrine of the second coming. I must admit, as a new Christian, that I became prejudiced simply by reading the everyday sermons of some of the great leading preachers of the world. But I was getting my information secondhand. I could not say at that time that my convictions were my own convictions. And because I had certain men on a high level of regard and respect in my early Christian life, I came to the conclusion, well, if they accept that position, it has to be right. And then I came to realize that not all these men agree. And so it casts every one of us to do our own studying. And what I said earlier about our Free Presbyterian Church, we do not subscribe to one particular position as ministers, elders, or as members of our church and denomination. We are given liberty according to the orthodox position of the Lord's return. So tonight we're going to do some weeding. We're coming to this parable of the wheat and the tares. And you remember how the husbandmen, when they discovered that there were tares in the field, they wanted permission to go in and root those tares out. But they were stopped. And the Lord of the field said, let both grow together until the harvest. That teaches us a very important truth, that in this world, good and evil, the righteous and the wicked will grow together. There will never be a time until the Lord returns when there is only the righteous in the world. And there never will be a time when it's only the wicked, but both grow together. Now, do notice that this parable gives us a great many details about the day of the end of the world. Let both grow together until the end, or until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers. And the Lord Jesus explained that parable, that the reapers are the angels. The harvest is the end of the world. And so we use this parable tonight because it throws a lot of light on the whole subject of how this world will function until that day when the trumpet sounds, when time will be no more, and the Lord shall return. Another thing I would draw your attention to is that in this parable, there is only one kingdom. It is the kingdom of the Father. You will notice that it is an eternal kingdom. Right down at the very bottom, verse 43, the end of the reading of to this evening, and it says, "Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father." Now, we learned this last week already when we looked at Matthew 24, that every reference to the Lord's return was in the singular. It is one return, one coming, and here we learn that there is one end to the world, not a temporary end and then a next time when it ends, and that the kingdom is singular, and we learn that it is eternal. Now, as to the dispensational view, there is nothing here at all about a millennial reign or a two-stage coming of the Lord Jesus. And so here is the outstanding parable in the Gospels. And it has to do with the return of the Lord, the end of the world. But there is nothing in the text that talks about 1,000 years, a temporary world order. There is nothing here that speaks about the Lord coming firstly to gather out the righteous and then coming again to destroy the wicked. In fact, the order is reversed in this parable. And it tells us that the Lord will come and the angels will gather up the tares into bundles to be burned. And then the righteous are going to be gathered into the Lord's barn, as the parable puts it. And that doesn't mean that there's a huge space of time between, but it certainly reverses the order of any idea that the Lord will come firstly for believers, for Christians, gather them out of the world, leaving behind everyone else, and then returning a second time in judgment to destroy the wicked. And so just as the Lord said, let them both grow together, the message is that in the harvest, they will both be dealt with together. Of course, the righteous to blessing, the wicked to destruction. And that's in perfect keeping with what we learned in Matthew 24. Now, if you haven't been with us up till now, I would advise that you read Matthew 24. It is the great key passage on the return of the Lord. We also looked at 2 Thessalonians 1:7. Which is a passage that speaks of the Lord coming, and with the power and glory of the Lord, he destroys the wicked and is glorified with the saints. One coming dealing with both the righteous and the wicked. And so tonight, I want to appeal to you to give some attention to what is called the now millennial view. Rather than a position that the Lord is going to come firstly, and then there will be 1,000 years of an earthly reign of some description, and then afterwards the Lord will again appear, that millennium or that reign of Christ is actually taking place presently. Now, of course, it would be impossible tonight to speak on the millennium without turning to Revelation 20. Because in Revelation 20, it's the only time in the Bible that you have this 1,000 years referred to or mentioned. And it's actually recorded 6 times in the early verses of Revelation 20. And this is the only passage in the Bible that you can actually even begin to speak of a reign of 1,000 years. Now, let's read some of these verses firstly, because I don't want to rush the matter to the point where we don't grasp what the Lord is saying here. Revelation 20. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Now, where the divide in the road is between two interpretive views, two methods of interpretation. One is the strictly literal, which says where you read in the Bible 1,000, it's 1,000 and that's it. There's no other way of looking at it. It's 1,000 years. And yet this is what we call apocalyptic literature or symbolic. And also in many other places in Revelation where numbers appear, you just can't take it literally. For example, the 144,000. This is where the Jehovah's Witnesses have turned into a cult because they take that literally as a particular number, and thereby that's the only people that are going to be elevated to that position of bliss. But we understand that 144,000 as a general term referring to a great multitude. And so here in Revelation 20, rather than only taking the absolutely literal interpretation, we give place to allowing this to be symbolic. And by allowing this to be a symbol, this reign is applied to the present time. And that Satan is bound. And that the Lord is reigning in his church. And instead of it being a specific period of time of a literal 1,000 years, that it is a lengthy period of time, perhaps beginning when the Lord came the first time until the second time. Now that's the dividing of the ways. Premillennialists, even those of the Orthodox historic position, they say this is literal. Those who believe in a now millennium, they say, but this is symbolic. And it, instead of referring to an exact period of time, it is really a picture of a lengthy period of the Lord reigning in his church.
Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak, as today we bring the message on the wheat and the tares, let both grow together until harvest. We're looking at the various views of the second coming of the Lord. Now, the major emphasis is upon the now millennial view, that we are now in Christ reigning with him, and that Christ is reigning in his people. And I trust that this message will be an encouragement to strengthen your faith and to help you to rejoice that in this world right now the Lord is governing, he is controlling, and that right until the end of the world, when the Lord returns, Satan will not have his way. If you would like CDs or notes on this, you can go to our website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca. And there you can have access to the notes and to these messages. They are on archived on our website. So you can go to that or give us a call here at our toll-free number, 1-800-969-1091. Back now to part two of the message. Unfortunately, no time for a hymn today, and we're going straight back to the pulpit of our Free Presbyterian Church.
So, let's do our homework tonight. And let me say that in love and grace, I can only present one position. I'm going to present the position that in all my examination of the scriptures and exploration of these things have come to see as the position with least problems. Doesn't mean there's no problems. Doesn't mean there aren't any verses that are like untied knots with certain difficulties. We don't take a position where we think we know it all. But it seems to me, and to many who have plowed these fields of the second coming of the Lord, that it is the easiest. So firstly, let's look at this. It is the simplest and safest of all systems, as it doesn't force ideas upon the Scriptures. And the great difficulty with interpreting Revelation 20 in a literal way, if you get it into your mind that Revelation 20 is an exact 1,000 years, 999 plus 1, and it has to be exactly 1,000 years, then you are going to read every passage in the Bible in that light. And whether you're reading Matthew 13 or Matthew 24 or Luke 17 or 2 Thessalonians, you're going to be thinking, where's the 1,000 years? And that presents great difficulty because you begin to read the Bible looking for something that you have to find it. And that is never safe biblical interpretation. It's always better to let the Bible speak for itself. I also perceive that out of all the systems, this is a most sensible position to a theological mind. That means when you want to interpret the Bible that things harmonize, things come together in unity, then to take this as a lengthy period of time rather than a particular 1,000 years is best. It also deals with certain aspects of sensationalism. And we all know that when it comes to the Lord's return, we have all kinds of sensationalists. And when it comes to the millennium, they have a very vivid imagination. And sometimes that imagination runs wild. And we wonder, where did they get these ideas? Well, it started with this idea of a literal 1,000 years, and something has to happen in that period of time. And that really presents the difficulty. And so we get rid of speculative notions by saying this simply means that from the Lord's first coming into the world, when he came as our Savior and Redeemer, until he returns again, he is reigning. Satan is bound. The church of the Lord Jesus is advancing. And Christ is reigning in his kingdom. And remember what the Lord Jesus said, that the kingdom of God is within you, in the hearts and in the lives of his people. Now moving to point two, it exalts the Lord as the head of the church who is governing over the world now. It makes the Lord to be the king of his kingdom now and is always in control. What this system calls for is that Satan is bound. Now in what sense is he bound? There in Revelation 23, it says that he's cast into the bottomless pit and shut up, and a seal is set upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. After that, he should be loosed a little season. So he's bound in the sense that he doesn't deceive the nations, certainly not as he did before. And there is a binding of the Satan that he is restrained. His power diminishes in the world. Now, is that a reality? Do we see that in the world today? Well, let's take this step by step. You go to Acts chapter 14, 16. We find that in the Old Testament that God allowed the nations to be deceived. Acts 14, verse 16. Who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. That is, before Christ came the first time. There was only one little nation in all the world that had the truth. That was Israel. And all the great nations, Egypt, Assyria, and all the great nations of the world, they didn't have the truth. They were left to walk in their own ways. And in that time, God allowed those nations to walk in darkness. There were prophecies that God would give to his son nations and people. And then Christ came. He came into the world. And you know that when he was a child, Satan sought to destroy him. And through Herod, in that act of genocide, Satan would have wiped out the whole community of children just to destroy the Christ of God. But the angel warned Joseph to flee to Egypt, and our Lord was spared. Then he began his ministry, and in Matthew 4, our Lord destroyed Satan in the wilderness. He defeated him, and Satan was defeated. Then there was the preaching of the gospel. When the disciples went out, not just the 12 disciples, but the 70 disciples. And when they came back from preaching the gospel, they had this news that the devils are subject unto them. And so, with the first coming of the Lord Jesus, there was this defeating of Satan on a broader scale. There was the power of Christ himself. There was his disciples. And in that text, Luke 10:17, the Lord Jesus said, I saw Satan fall as lightning. That certainly was a binding of Satan and limiting his powers. And then in Matthew 12, the Lord spoke of binding the strong man. If you're going to deliver the captive, you have to, first of all, bind the strong man. Who is that? That's the devil. And in the very same passage, if you note, in Matthew 12:28-29, in the very same passage, the Lord said, now is the kingdom come unto you. So he's saying the binding of Satan, the defeating of the powers of darkness, and now is the kingdom come unto you. So as the Lord conducted his ministry, as he empowered his disciples, and then right up to Pentecost, which was the beginning of the explosion of evangelism, not just to Israel, but to the whole world, Satan was bound. And our Lord at the cross spoiled principalities and powers, destroyed Satan further, and set men free. And so this binding of Satan in Revelation 20, verse 3, can quite logically, quite consistently with other parts of the Bible, be interpreted as the devil was restrained at the first coming of the Lord Jesus. And until he returns again, Satan is bound. And in that way, the Lord is in control.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. Stay tuned with us as Valerie Manise sings for us Jerusalem, and then the announcements for today.
Thought the
Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher, and really appreciate you joining with us day by day and week by week as we let the Bible speak, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., Sundays at 9:30. We also invite you along to our church services here at 10:30 and 6 p.m. at the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. The address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S, 1M6, and I give you the postal code just in case you intend to write us or send us an email or give us a phone call, 604-576-1091. The website to which you can go to join us by computer at 10:30 and 6 p.m. for our live webcast, the website address is cloverdalefpc.ca. We also invite you to join with us at our Victoria Church at 10:30 and 6 p.m. And the folks there would be delighted to have you along at 733 Van Alman Avenue in Victoria. Again, give us a call. Go to our website for all the information. If you missed part of this program or wish to hear it again, you can go to our website. It will be archived by date, and we hope that you will do that. If I can be of personal help with literature, we have a booklet called A New Beginning that we'll be glad to send you free of charge, or you can read it online at www.cloverdalefpc.ca. For magazines and further information, literature and helpful articles, send us an email. We look forward to hearing from you as week by week, day by day, we let the Bible speak.